We are in Psalm 23 this morning. Certainly a well-known psalm. And we do, as you very well know, those who attend here regularly know that we sing psalms in this church, as do some other churches, but mostly churches don't. And in a conversation one time, the topic of psalm singing came up with another pastor, and he said, well, the psalms are good, but the problem is they don't mention Jesus. So it's probably good for the synagogues, but not for our worship. It's just a lot easier to sing songs that mention Jesus than try to get people to think about Jesus where he's not particularly mentioned. And he said, after all, what do we sing at Christmas? So I asked him, at Christmas, do you sing joy to the world? Hey, well, we certainly do. Jesus is not mentioned in joy to the world. Do you sing the first Noel? Yes. Jesus, the name of Jesus is not mentioned. Do you sing, it came upon the midnight clear? Yes. By now he figured it out. And then, the crowning. Do you sing Amazing Grace? Why, yes we do. Jesus is not specifically mentioned. The name does not come up in Amazing Grace. Perhaps the Psalms don't specifically mention or use the name of Jesus Christ. But then some people quickly fall into the word concept fallacy because the word isn't there. They tend to ignore things. But it's interesting that Jesus Christ himself pull some of his titles out of the Psalms, especially the idea of the great shepherd. You see, the Old Testament Psalms are not exclusive Jewish property. The Old Testament is full of Jesus, and as Spurgeon says, the footsteps run through all the pages of the Old Testament. And when we come to Psalms such as Psalm 22 and Psalm 23, there are more than footsteps. There are well-worn paths. It's a common expression to say scripture or a passage or a verse has only one meaning. That can be true in some passages, but in others there are truths. There are main and other truths. In Psalm 23, there is the truth of David and his confidence in God's goodness. But remember, it's the same David who said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And in various other places, made sometimes clear and sometimes veiled references to the Christ. As most prophets may not have had a true and abundantly clear understanding of what they were writing, it's very possible Isaiah, when he was writing chapter 7 and verse 14, may not have had a picture of the Virgin Mary in the back of his mind. That's why if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, verse 9, he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. the prophets inquired. They searched diligently. They prophesied of the grace that should come to you. You see, the prophets weren't solitary cave dwellers. It's clear that they read each other, just as Peter would remark on his reading of Paul's writings. And Luke would mention that there were other writings, and he was putting this account so clearly. So when we come to the Psalms, we can say, yes, the understanding of David as to all that was entailed, all that in what he wrote, perhaps was not fully understood. Yet no doubt, there was probably something tugging at his mind as the Spirit of God led him into what to write. Perhaps the same might be true in you, in your life. Perhaps we have read and heard this psalm over and over again, and in the reading of the psalm have never thought of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. If we turn to John chapter 10, in John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I think it'd be good to read that whole passage. We start at verse 1 of chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In this parable, Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. We'll look more at that in a moment. Jesus said that he was the good shepherd. But it's also said of him in Scripture when we go to the Old Testament, when we go to Genesis 49 and verse 24, it's prophesied of Christ, the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those who are with young. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 23, I will set up one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And he writes how the shepherd will come from the line of David. In Ezekiel 37, verse 24, they all shall have one shepherd. And in Zechariah 13, and verse 17, which is quoted in Matthew 26, and verse 31, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my companion. And strike the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. It was not only Jesus in the New Testament, but Peter twice in his first letter in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 25. First Peter 2 and verse 24, ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And in chapter 5 and verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The shepherd and bishop of your souls, the chief shepherd. So you have every right to read Psalm 23 as a Christian, because Psalm 23 is in our Bible. I know that's a strange concept, but if it's in our Bible, it's Christian writing, Old Testament or New. There are people who say, well, you know, you shouldn't read the Bible with any presuppositions. You can't help but do that, and you must do that if you're a Christian. The Lord is my shepherd. We're struck from the beginning with the creator-creature distinction. He is our creator, and we are his creatures. The sheep of his pasture. And because all things are from him and through him and to him, I shall not want. Often there's a lot of confusion when people read the Beatitudes, because they read them with some kind of idea that this is the way I'm going to be saved. I must act this way. Or some even say, well, this is the way people will be in the world to come, which I find very strange. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, if you watch some of the speechifying that went on this week, you find a lot of people standing up there who do not hunger and thirst after righteousness. But attention. The natural man does not hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because to hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst after Christ. Because that's where righteousness is to be found. So those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will find it in Christ. And they will be filled. They will be filled. Nothing lacking. So to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to blessed, that blessed condition comes onto us, not in our flesh, but by a work of the Spirit of God, causing us to see that we have no righteousness. So in order to come before God, to be at peace with Him, we must have a righteousness. And that can only be found in Christ, with whom we get every spiritual blessing. If you turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is the religious man's question. What must we do? That's always the question that gets, that's the very religious thing, but it's not a very salvific thing. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may seek and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. We'll go further into that in a moment. You know, he knows all his sheep. He knows where to find them. He knows their problems and he knows their pain. He knows their joys and he knows their sorrows. But as a good shepherd, he also protects and he defends them. Yet, before we go further, let's focus perhaps on the possessive for a moment. My, the Lord is my shepherd. And while much attention is given to a personal declaration, you must make him your shepherd. Well, very well. There is the fact that we must claim him as ours. But because we come from a man or us-centered view of things, we can easily forget. We're going to go very deep here. Okay, so I'm warning you ahead of time. We're going very deep. Are you ready to follow? You tuned in. Headphones off. Here it is. Sheep don't choose their shepherd. Sheep don't choose their shepherd. A shepherd never says, well, you know, one day I was out there in the field and a sheep showed up. And they wanted me to be their shepherd. You see, Jesus has a right to the sheep, to all the sheep of God. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Again, let's go back to John chapter 6. And if we go to John 6 and verse 37, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. If you have a question about 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 about the will of God, here it is revealed from the lips of Christ. Of all that he should give me, I will not lose one. He's not willing that any should perish. Any of what? It was a particular group he's speaking of here. And of all that the Father gave me, I should not lose one. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. Of all that which he has given me, I should not lose nothing. I should lose nothing, but should raise him up on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. There's not one shepherd who can claim 100% safety for his flock. But Jesus can, and he does. And though we must certainly claim him as our own, it is because the Father gave us to him in the first place. We love him because he first loved us. And so we are his in three ways. First, we are a gift to him from the Father. That's the first way. The second, we are purchased by Christ, by his precious blood. And then thirdly, by the power of his grace through the Holy Spirit. And so the result is, in Psalm 79 and verse 13, so we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. I am the good shepherd, he says, and know my sheep, and am known by mine, known by my own. As we read there in the verses of John chapter 10, in the beginning of it, we have the sheepfold, which was a large holding pen that shepherds would bring their sheep in at night to keep them all together and safe. So you'd have maybe the flocks of three or four shepherds all together in this one big holding pen. And there was somebody who would keep watch. Well, since you've already done it, you know how to get back over there. So let's go to John chapter 10 again. So he says, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter or doorkeeper openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by what? By name, and leadeth them out. So in these intermingled flocks, there's his flock, and he calls them out. And what happens? The sheep hear his voice. They hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by what? Fictitious nicknames? He calls him. Yeah, when I was in business one time, we had a very good customer, and he would come in for parts sometimes, and he wasn't the greatest remembering names. So every man that worked at the place, he would call them Bo. Hey, Bo. Hey, Bo, you got my stuff? Jesus knows his sheep by name. They are his. So he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Notice again the language. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and his sheep follow him to have him as our shepherd is to follow him. And in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Why would they enter in the first place? Because, well, they can't enter in unless God draws them. I want us to see, as we come near the end, before we finish, look at who's writing this. It's David. David, the king, placed where he is by divine decree and power. A man who has all earthly goods and benefits one could imagine. The one who has armies at his disposal. Yet how does he refer to himself? He refers to himself as a mere sheep. Under the great shepherd's care. See, the Lord is a shepherd only to those who are sensible of their weaknesses and poverty and need of protection. Who are, as Calvin wrote, are willing to abide in his sheepfold and surrender themselves to be governed by him. Oh, I see a lot of folks on the internet and on cable networks. They want to be co-governors. They want to exalt themselves and their position and their power and work along with Jesus for some way. But we are governed by him. David, who excelled both in power and riches, nevertheless frankly confessed himself to be a poor sheep that he might have God as his shepherd. There's a lot of talk, people say a lot of things, but you know, David was a man after God's own heart. But one thing we can see about David, it runs all through the Psalms. In the midst of his falls, and everybody's quick to bring those up, but the full body of his work shows a man who is not puffed up, who is not filled with pride. He's the anti-Saul. Saul is the man full with pride. He's the man who cannot find it in himself to repent and turn to God, so he has to ask the prophet to pray for him instead. David's the man who knows and grovels on the ground saying, I need a new heart. I have a poor spirit. I need to be renewed, and I want the joy of thy salvation to come to me again. Brothers and sisters, there's no such thing as a joyless salvation. So who then here in this place today can truly say, having seen their own weakness, truly seeing and comprehending this, can say, you know what, I really don't need a shepherd. I don't need the great shepherd. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And one of the great calls of Scripture that's repeated in the book of Hebrews, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And the call goes out. Every time the name Jesus is mentioned, I was criticized a while back by someone who said, well, you don't do altar calls and invitations and that sort of thing. I said, the whole sermon's an invitation. Christ has been presented to you. It's like at Christmas, if you're a kid and you got this big box and it was presented to you, what do you do? I said, you got to open it for me, Daddy, because I don't know what to do. It's presented to you in clarity. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's none like Christ, our shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. And then he rose again that we would have new and eternal life, that we would conquer death. See, it's not only that Christ leads us in this life, he leads us in to the world to come. And while we're here, what's he doing for us? And we always ask, what have you done lately for me? He ever liveth to make intercession for his saints. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a shepherd. Let's stand together for prayer.